You're listening to the all-new Pei Chen Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there and everyone who is like a mom to someone. I don't think you have to have given birth to someone to be a mom. So happy Mother's Day. Hope it was a great day for everyone and that you didn't get caught in the strange downpour, hail, snowstorm that we had. You know, I guess the one good thing about all of that is that the bad weather kind of happened after the Sporting Life 10K had ended. So the weather held up for that. 27,000 people ran that race today. And I think the person who came in first place made a time of like 30 minutes, which is pretty unbelievable for 10K. I mean, I know it's downhill and everything, but that would take me about three times as long. So congrats to everyone. And of course, they were raising money for Camp Buchigayas, which lets kids with cancer go to camp and have a good summer. So congrats to all those people. I'm sure I think you carb load before and after a run, right? I carb load before and after I walk a couple blocks. That's my thing. A couple of things I just wanted to mention. I was here for the weekend, actually. I was filling in for Larry Fedoric on the morning show today and yesterday. So that was good times. Don't know if you were listening that early between 6 and 8 a.m. But I was here, so I'm back. Happy to be back tonight. I've got a great show coming up, actually. You know, the farmers markets are open right now. I'm really excited about that. It's my favorite thing to do is just to go to a market and pick up some local produce, talk to the farmers who grew it. And springtime, we're looking at things like asparagus, fiddleheads, ramps, all kinds of fun things. So I'll have a chat with the executive chef from Cultura. They're also kind enough to be sponsoring my show this month, and I'm very excited about that. It's a fantastic restaurant place to have a couple of drinks and hang out. So we'll talk to the chef about some springtime dishes. Also, the St. Lawrence Market is holding a really cool chef's series over the next few months where you can sit down and hang out and have a five-course meal with a couple of fantastic chefs within Toronto. And there's some sort of game going on. Hockey, I think. It's a big hockey game going on tonight. Siobhan Morris is down at Maple Leaf Square hanging out with some fans. The weather will not keep them away. We'll check in with her later on the show and see what the energy is like. Score right now is 0-0. No one scored yet. So if you are a big hockey fan and wondering what the update is, that's the case. We're still in the first period. And there is also a great charity event taking place downtown Toronto this Wednesday. There is a no pants policy. You heard that right. It's a pantless party. No pants. No pants. I'll tell you more about that coming up. But I'm really excited to have a guest in the studio with me for the show. I've got Naomi Sneekis here, who is, you are many things, Naomi. You're an actor, you're a writer, improviser, director. You're more than a triple threat, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like a jack of all trades and a master of none, as they say. Jacqueline of all trades.
Now, Naomi is I guess people would know you as Bobby from Mr. D.
That's right.
And also as one of the main comedy panel members on George Strombolopoulos Tonight.
That's right. I share the chair with Jen Robertson and Pat Thornton and Ali Hazan's over there, too.
Yeah, good group over there.
Yeah, no kidding.
And you're also, you do a lot of things, because I went online. I'm
spin a lot of plates. And a lot of them crash, and then a lot of them take flight, and those become UFOs that people report on. So it's a pretty diverse life.
Well, you've done a lot of Second City shows.
Yeah, that was
sort of my home. And that's where I know you from, seeing you in Second City shows.
Yeah, I did Second City for 5 years, mm-hmm. Every night for 6 nights a week for 5 years, and it was amazing.
Wow.
It's the best, though. I mean, yeah, I can go back to Second City and feel like you've never left. It's such a great family over there.
And what have you got coming up?
Well, we've got a couple of shows. We've got Wednesday night. We're the last Wednesday of every month. We're going to do a show called I Seen You on TV, mm-hmm. which is a bunch of our friends that are on TV, and we're going to do improvising with them. So folks from Mr. D and Alinda Cash is coming up in June. She's from Waiting for Guffman. And
okay.
So people that we know that we just want to hang out with and do improv.
Yeah.
And that's at the Drake. And then the first June 4th to the 8th, we have a show called Scriptease, the Scriptease Project, that we're going to be doing at the Soul Pepper Theater. And that's when we ask playwrights to write us 2 pages of a script. We mm-hmm. read it cold in front of the audience for the very first time, throw the pages down, and then improvise the rest of the play.
It's not easy.
I've set myself a goal that is really ridiculous. But we've got amazing playwrights. Like, we've got Judith Thompson, Richard Greenblatt, Jason Sherman, and Rick Mercer is also going to write us 2 pages. So
wow.
I'm excited to find out what they write for
us. Talk about flying by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, it makes me a little sweaty. It does.
Just a little.
Yeah,
makes
it's,
me sweaty thinking
it's just
about
Matt Barham and I doing it every night, so it'll be really
just
really
so that you just have one person to rely on for the whole show.
That's right. And for the whole life, too, because he's my life partner. So let me down off stage, on stage. Oh, there's a lot riding on this, buddy.
There's a lot of pressure. The last time we spoke was just a couple of weeks ago. You were doing the Live Below the Line Challenge where you were living off $1.75 a day for 5 days. So we spoke to you the day before you were starting it. How did it go?
It was great. It was a really eye-opening challenge, for sure. I mean, $1.75 a day is just not a lot of money. And what it did was sort of make awareness throughout my community too, because people would tweet saying, oh, I just bought a coffee that was my entire budget for the whole week. And so the challenges were things like nutrients and making sure that you were...
That's tough.
Yeah, because you can go and get like a Mr. Noodle, 4 packages for $1 at the dollar store, but that's not the nutrients that your body needs. So there was a lot of naps. There were a lot of naps.
Yeah, no kidding.
So that was challenging. And then also the crashes of sugar, caffeine, and alcohol that are all luxuries that we have in our life.
Is that maybe usually in your blood, you know, early in the morning?
I'm not, look, I like to have a little vodka in my cereal, and don't judge me for
why
that.
Why not? Yeah.
So those were crashes. The sugar, for sure, because sugar is now a luxury if you're only getting $1.75 a day. But we did it. We did it with Ennis Esmer and Matt Barham and I, and we shared our grocery shopping. So we went to Kensington Market, you know, the bulk barn and dollar store, and bought like the lowest prices of everything, and then shared peanut butter in the parking lot. And
which is a very odd thing to probably witness.
Yeah, it was.
What are those people doing? Yeah. What's going on behind
that drug
car
trade?
Over
no,
there?
It was a peanut butter trade.
Sharing spoonfuls of peanut
That's right.
butter.
Yeah, and so we did that. But it was really good. I'm really glad we did the challenge, and it was really challenging, but very eye-opening for sure.
I can imagine, because, you know, before you were starting the challenge, it was just sort of hard to wrap my head around $1.75 a day.
Yeah, you just have to be really organized, and like, you have to think ahead. I think Ennis was over his budget like halfway, and then ate oatmeal for the rest of the week. But no, we were planning it out a little bit more carefully, and we had to go back and forth to Kingston, and so we brought this big bag of food with us. So, you know, you just plan it out.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people aren't able to do. I guess that was the whole point of this, which is like, you kind of have the luxury of saying, I'm only going to do this for a couple of days.
5 days is nothing, right?
Yeah. Although it kind of made me think of, you know, everyone goes through their quote unquote starving artist or, you know, student days when you don't have a lot of money, but you usually have a few more bucks than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's as I keep saying, it's an awareness. But as a student, you do things like, I remember eating potatoes for many
pasta.
Days.
I would buy that bottle of like ragu pasta sauce and then bags of like white pasta.
Yeah.
And that's just what I
eat. And now you can't eat that ever again.
No, I can't. I'm so turned off it.
Yeah. It's a great cause, though. We raised some good money for it, too, so that's good.
Good, so money and awareness. I think that was the first time they were doing it in Canada as well. So
yeah, we'll do it again next year for sure.
Yeah? Does Matt know you've signed up?
He doesn't know half the things I sign him up for. It's fine.
You're like, guess what, honey? We've signed up for this. Well, Naomi's sticking around for the hour. We're here until 9 p.m., of course, and some great guests. And also, we'll check in with Siobhan Morris later on. She's down at Maple Leaf Square hanging out with some hardcore Leafs fans, and we'll see what that's about. The score is still zero right now.
This is the all-new Pay Chen Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
It is coming up to 8:16. I'm Pei Chen. I have Naomi Sneekus here with me. Very excited actor, improviser, writer, many things. And happy Mother's Day to everyone. Someone wished me a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, I didn't know you're a mother.
I'm not a mother.
Okay, well, that's weird.
It was weird because I just said thank you. I didn't know what else to say.
Well, do you have pets? Are you like
no.
a mom? Because somebody said, because I don't have kids, but somebody said happy Mother Dog Day, and I was like, that's like the worst because I get. I get crap for those presents. Like, I literally get
that's what you get.
I have to pick it up. But, so I don't really celebrate it from me. Yeah. I don't get any presents. But I think every day should be Mother's Day. Right?
It should be,
They
right.
brought us into this world. They did the best they can. And
look how we turned out.
Not so bad.
Not so awful.
Oh, my God. I'm barely holding it together.
just barely. And did you visited your mom?
I did. I visited my mom and, brought some flowers, had some tea.
Oh, it's nice.
And, she's a pretty simple lady. She doesn't need a lot. I think that it's just important to recognize. And then how do you recognize? Like, do you do the, I'm just going to call in some flowers, or do you make something, or do you, you know, put some thought behind it? There's a lot of Facebook.
I put no thought.
Right. Well, that's the opposite of what you should do, I guess.
I know.
Like, does your mom care?
No, she doesn't care. Oh. Well, because my mom is in Halifax, so for years I used to order flowers and send them to her, but you never really know about the quality of the flowers. And so she called me one year and she said, stop spending all this money on flowers because she said they're not very nice and they were kind of like limp and dead. And I'm like, okay, fine, so I'm not going to do that. And then I would send her cards and she's like, cards are a waste of money. What am I supposed to do with them? So my parents ruin every holiday. So I called just before I came into work tonight and my dad picks up. If I call on Father's Day, Mother's Day, or either or their birthdays, what they do is they answer with the greeting, I am about to give. So my dad picked up the phone, and they have call display.
They're saving money on long distance. They're trying to cut to the chase.
That's probably what it is. My dad picks up the phone, and he goes, Happy Mother's Day.
Oh.
I'm like, all I can say is, yep. He goes, Happy Mother's Day.
I'm like, well, bye, Dad. Yeah. Thanks for everything.
And then he's like, did you want to talk to your mom? And I'm like, yeah, you could, you know, whatever. And then I hear her in the back going, which one is it? Either is it me or is it my brother? And I can guarantee you my brother didn't call yet.
So full of tenderness.
Like the Chen family is full of love.
Yeah, which one is it?
Yeah, so much love. Actually, the Fords were on this afternoon. And I know that there was a clip. I wouldn't normally play something from...
No, but I think this is an important clip to share.
Well, I think so. You know, Rob Ford basically was chatting. I guess they called their mom, him
as
and Doug.
You do.
Called, yes, as you do on Mother's Day. And this is what happened.
Wow. Well, you had two. You had Kathy in 1960, and then you had Randy in 1962, and then you had Dougie in 1964. So you must have had this plan, two. And then, I don't know what happened. 5 years later, you decided to have me in 69. So...
Yeah.
What was going on there, Ma?
I guess it was an afterthought.
Wow.
And you were supposed to be a girl.
I was supposed to be a girl?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a girl first, then the two boys, and then this one was going to be another girl.
Wow.
It just tells us so much, the joy in her voice and just how passionate she was about her kids. It just says everything we need to know.
And I just love I think he said wow three times in that, and it was about 20 seconds long. You know what?
Fills your heart, doesn't it?
It does. And I quite like Mrs. Ford because even though she knows she was on the radio and everyone could hear what she was saying, she's like, I'm going to speak from the heart.
Be who I am and
I'm
say that you're an afterthought, buddy.
You're an afterthought and you're supposed to be a girl.
Spin that into something good for press, hey? Afterthought.
What could the headline be tomorrow?
He's an afterthought, but the subway won't be.
No. It won't. Gravy train, not an afterthought. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break here on In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010. When we come back, we'll talk to the executive chef of Cultura Restaurant. We'll tell you also about a great chef's series taking place at St. Lawrence Market.
Pei Chen is talking Toronto on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
It is 8:22. Thanks for joining me. I'm Pei Chen. I have Naomi Sneekis here with me in studio. You may know her from Mr. D, also as one of the comedy panelists on the George Strompolopoulos show. And we were talking about Mother's Day. And I know that a lot of restaurants were very busy today for brunch. This is the day where if you are not going out with your mom, it's not the kind of day to make brunch plans with your girlfriends. I made that mistake once.
No. Nobody wants to sit around a bunch of girls when they're having their mother there going...
It's like, but you can't even get a table. You walk in, you're like, it's going to be a breeze.
No. Not so easy.
It's not at all.
I'd like to know the stats on, like, Father's Day versus Mother's Day to know, like, which is getting celebrated more. Because I have a feeling, like it just means more to moms that you bring them flowers or that you remember them. And dads are like, get me a beer sometime.
Yeah, and then, like, that's barbecue.
Yeah.
No, for my mom, her thing is she loves to not have to cook.
Right.
So a meal out is a treat to her.
And does she have a specific place? Because my mom always had an issue of sitting too close to the kitchen for that same reason. Because she was like, I left the kitchen. I don't want to sit near the kitchen.
No, I don't think my mom. My dad is cheap.
Okay.
And he's not very adventurous. So if my mom gets to eat somewhere else, she's very excited.
Right. Oh, I see. Yeah.
So she waits for one of her kids to go
home
and visit.
So next time, you'll send them a pizza for Mother's Day.
Yeah, I'm like,
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, here you go. Happy Mother's Day. Hope you enjoy this. Do you go to farmers markets at all?
I do. I love farmers markets.
Me too.
We have one in Trinity Bellwoods Park, the organic market that I love. And then the one in Halifax we were just speaking about by the water. So yeah, I love them. It just makes me feel, markets always make me feel like I'm part of the community.
Yeah.
As opposed to just a consumer, because there's something else about
locally
grown
exactly.
things. Veganism. Yeah.
And knowing where my food came from and talking to the people there. Well, I know that, well, Trinity Bellwoods Market, actually, I stopped by there this week. It was the first time it was open. It wasn't a whole lot there, but they had the nice asparagus.
Yeah, it's just
they
starting.
They had some ramps, so the things that are just popping up right now. And I wanted to talk to executive chef from Cultura. This is Bernadette Caputo? Did I get your name right?
Calpito,
I'm so sorry.
There you go.
She got sneakers right, but Calpito,
yeah,
not so
I know.
Much.
I was like, got yeah. that one a little mixed up. Well, thanks for joining me. I wanted, well, first of all, how was Mother's Day brunch?
It was actually pretty nice. It was, it went really smooth, and everybody was happy.
Oh, good.
Early, but everybody was happy.
Okay, good. And, I wanted to talk about sort of the spring menu, the way that you might be incorporating some of these new, the fresh produce into your menu and what, you know, in some ways, what people can do with these things.
Well, I mean, right now with the spring menu that I have, I use a lot of the products, Ontario products from St. Lawrence Market. They're one of my biggest suppliers. My produce is from there. And right now I'm going crazy over the sweet little bell peppers that's going around right now. And I pickle them, actually, and I put them on my tartars.
Oh, ooh, that sounds really good.
Amazing.
Yeah, sweet little peppers.
And how do you pickle the sweet peppers? Because I've heard that you could actually cook a bell pepper right on your gas element.
Yeah, you could put them right on the grill.
Yeah.
And you can have them as a roasted red pepper.
Yeah, I could eat those all day.
Yeah, but the small little ones that are in season right now are very, very sweet.
What was hot for Mother's Day? What was the big plate?
Oh, the Mother's Day was the salmon.
Everybody Ooh, nice.
Goes crazy for the fresh salmon.
Sure.
I had a Gravlax salmon that I used on the menu, and everybody went crazy for it.
And do you have a lot of people, like, giving you, like, I need salmon, but I need the sauce on the side, I need the spices, but
yeah.
I need that in a thimble?
You always have those. Those you can't avoid.
You can't avoid them.
Yeah, you can't avoid them. I mean, you can't. Everybody's allergic to something.
That's right.
You know,
or avoiding something, right? I think now
yeah.
it's the time of
well,
more a lot of people just avoiding.
So everybody wants to watch the weight, and they want to try a little bit of this, but they don't want to eat the full portions
yeah.
and stuff like that. So
now,
it happens.
Chef, what else is coming like into season in the next little while that we can look forward to, and that you might be using?
Fiddlehead should be coming. I mean, I've seen some in the market now, but mm-hmm. The really good one should be coming in the next week or so. The season has been, you know, quite great to us when it comes to produce. And heirloom tomatoes. Oh, I love heirloom tomatoes.
I'm planting my first heirloom tomato in my garden
Are
this
you
year.
Really?
So I'm going to have
yes.
a tomato taste-off to find
yeah,
out.
Yeah, there's actually, the ones they use in the kitchen are the baby heirloom tomatoes. They're
yeah.
like cherry tomatoes, but they're heirloom, and they're just so sweet.
They're like candy.
Delicious.
They are.
Yes, they are.
So, chef, do you put them in a salad? Like, you probably don't need to do much
to
them.
I actually have them on my Asian salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going crazy on frisée and arugula. Arugula is really, really peppery right now.
I love this time of year because we're coming out of the winter comfort food, which is often, you know, kind of carb heavy, and now getting into like just the lighter
salads and couscous.
Yeah, stuff that's colorful.
Well, I think that the season this year is much better than last year. Last year, I think it was quite late.
Mm-hmm.
The produce wasn't as fresh. I think
right.
I wasn't able to get a hold of most of the produce that I'm getting a hold of now, this early in the season, actually, to be honest.
Well, we just had a winter storm today, so I don't know.
I know.
Oh, my God. And I was like, what do
me.
I do?
I don't know about those heirloom plants.
Jacket again.
Yeah.
Now, Chef, tell me about this chef series at St. Lawrence Market. I had a quick peek at it, and it looks really amazing.
Yeah, it's actually 5 courses. I will be representing Cultura and myself.
Mm-hmm.
June 6th, I believe.
Yep.
And it I think the cost is for the St. Lawrence Market.
Mm-hmm.
And you get wine and 5 courses. I will be representing Cultura with. What? I'm going to be using the products from St. Lawrence. That's
okay.
That's definitely, yeah, representing some of the local produce from there.
Any
and
sort
some
of
the meats. Yeah.
Any hints as to what you might be including in these 5 courses?
I'm thinking more on the game, lamb. I love cooking lamb, so
love it.
Something's gonna be in there. Some foie gras as
oh,
well.
Oh, wow, very decadent dinner.
It'll be dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you get inspired on the day for that kind of thing? Like, or do you go, I think I'm gonna do this, and then on the day going, no, it has to be this.
No, I have to plan way ahead for it. Like I get pretty nervous when it comes to such a big event like that.
Yeah, like it's like a performance for you.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's like playing a sport. You gotta
we'll get you opening night
you
gifts.
Get ready. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, and it's brought, it's I guess, Dine TO is one of the partners in all of this. So yep. It's the St. Lawrence Market 2013 Executive Chef Series. I guess you're kicking it off for June. So, yep. Again, June 6th, and that's called Tura. And also some other chefs are taking part. For example, Carl Heinrich from Richmond Station is doing one later in June. And also Laura Kirk from Ruby Watch Co. So they got some really great chefs there to sort of...
Very local, yeah. I think her sense was to... get local chefs around the St. Lawrence and uses St. Lawrence as their outlet for produce or meat and whatnot.
Well, I think it's going to be great. So again, it's 5 courses and it's a chance for people to come by and interact with the chefs and talk to them and have a cozy little dinner. So thank you so much for joining us, Chef. And and we'll definitely be seeing you very soon.
See you there. I'm going down for sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll see you there. Well, Naomi will bring her tomato plant.
That's right. Even if it's not grown.
You're listening to the all-new Pei Chen Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Well, there is a big game going on tonight. Good evening. I'm Pei Chen. With me for the show, Naomi Sneekis. Very happy to have you here. Naomi, of course, an actor, an improviser, a Jill of all trades.
Sure.
Who does a bit of everything, writing, directing. We were just sort of talking during the commercial break about all the things that... Well, that we have to kind
you
of
have
do.
To, because you if you only do
juggle.
One thing, then you're going to be stuck just doing that one thing. But if you do a little bit of everything, you're always going to be busy.
Well, and if you just do one thing, chances are you can't pay your bills.
Yeah, it's true.
You have to be able to adapt and kind of do more than one thing sometimes. Well, Siobhan Morris is actually down at Maple Leaf Square. Hey, Siobhan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know what? I thought it would be like crazy loud where you are, but I think you found a bit of a quiet spot.
I'm actually inside recharging my phone right now and thawing out because it's really, really cold outside. It's like, it feels like February outside. I was actually shivering while I was standing outside, so I'm, you know, feeling grateful to have the break to recharge my equipment and warm up a little bit.
Are you dressed for the weather?
I am. I mean, I was wearing, more summer shoes this morning, and I knew I was coming here, and I'm like, you know what, I got to put some boots on. I've got a winter coat on, but I probably could have used some mittens and... an extra pair of socks, maybe.
You could get an extra pair of socks, put them on your hands. So what's happening down there? Like, how many people are down there? They're cheering everyone on?
There is, the Maple Leaf Square is absolutely packed. There's about, in the square itself, there's about room for 3,000 people, and the road behind that is also filling up with fans, just beyond sort of the place, you know, the area that's roped off where you can serve liquor, but there are people, you know, lined up beyond that. It's blue as far as I can see. I can't see the end of this little square back out to York Street. You can see where the crowd sort of ends. So people, you know, are here. Much bigger crowd than we saw for the last game, Game 5, Friday night when it was raining. And, you know, that was an away game, so the crowd was a little bit thinner back on Friday. But definitely the numbers are back up here for Game 6.
So what is the atmosphere like?
Yeah, how's the mood down there?
You know what, it's come down a little bit. I think over the first period, it's not... the kind of period that I think the fans were hoping for. You know, they were hoping that the Leafs would get out to, you know, out in front quickly like they did in Game 5, and that didn't happen. There's just not enough shots on net. So I think that they're feeling a little bit dejected right now. I talked to a couple of people who said, you know, it could be a whole lot worse. It's not what we wanted, but it could have been a whole lot worse. So they're just hoping for, you know, a better second period than the first. Energy a little bit down right now.
People are always sort of optimistic, right? Like, it could be worse.
I don't know if people are optimistic about this. I feel like there's a lot of doubt in people's minds here about the Leafs.
Really?
Yeah, because they...
But the hardcore fans are so, like, they're such believers, you know?
Yeah, they're like, they're all guys that have, almost like they've had babies. They've already forgotten about the pain of those first two games, and now they're remembering what it's like to be a real Leaf fan again.
It's going to come back.
The fans that are here are, you know, no doubt in their mind the Leafs are going to win tonight. It's just a matter of by how much. people who come out to these things, yeah, they're not going to come if they think that the Leafs aren't going to come out with it. So, I mean, and it's kind of hard to get, you know, you talk to people about, like, what kind of predictions? Well, I talked to somebody back on Friday who predicted a 21-0 win for the Leafs.
What?
Obviously, that's not within the
realm. That guy's doing the secret. He's just doing the secret. He's been watching Oprah a lot, and he's really thinking positively. That's
lovely. I'll put it out there, and I'll get it back. Well, thanks so much, Siobhan. I hope you warm up. Are you wearing blue and white?
Pardon me? I've got blue earrings on. That's the extent of it.
Good enough. And if you stay out in the cold, your lips will go blue.
Exactly.
So there you go. You're a true Leafs fan.
All right. Thanks, Siobhan.
Thank you.
That's Siobhan Moore. She's down at Maple Leaf Square hanging out with a few thousand Leafs fans. So far, no one has scored. Are you a hockey fan, Naomi?
You know, I get in on the playoffs. You know, my guy Matt's a huge Oilers fan, so I'll jump on that because it's like exciting for the country and for our city as well. Like, I do get a little bit excited about the Leafs.
I'm excited that people in Toronto are excited.
Yeah.
You know, I like that positive energy.
Yes.
I'm afraid.
I'm a little bit afeared.
I'm a little nervous of what might happen if the game
because
does not
they're
go
so
the
passionate.
Way they want.
And there are men in tears
so
over this.
So much to them. And, you know,
I like to see men cry. So that does.
Does that bring you joy?
It's so. I feel like that's really a good outlet for those guys. Just really get the tears out of their system. But who knows? Like, it's a positive thing. It's good for Toronto and it's great to rally.
For the city. And I think it was a long time coming for people. And I'll admit, I'm not a huge sports fan, but baseball and hockey I can follow loosely. And I get, you know, I'm happy when the Jays do well. I'm happy when the Leafs do well. It's not often.
Do you like going to the games?
I've never been to a game.
Okay.
Well, baseball games are very long.
Okay. I play baseball on the weekends on a league, and you can come to any of those games if you want.
But I played softball when I was in junior high, and I was hit in the head with a ball really hard.
That's where it's stemming from. There's a trauma attached to this whole thing.
There is.
You know that they probably can't reach you if you're way up in the bleachers.
In the back, in the nosebleed section.
Maybe wear a helmet when you go see a game.
I find, I've never been to a hockey game. I think I would like that energy.
It's pretty fun. I love seeing sports live. I don't care, like a basketball, you know, every kind of sport, because it is the energy and your
rallying.
But baseball
is slow. All those innings?
Yeah, but there's, I don't know. I still like the energy of it. I mean, seeing it at the stadium too, that's pretty exciting. There's something romantic about it. And
A couple years ago, I was sent down to Dunedin, Florida for Blue Jays spring training.
Sure.
And,
did you wear a helmet just in case the ball came towards you?
Yeah. And I will tell you that no one was more out of place than I was, because I actually tried to not go. And that was because I was working at Omni TV at the time, which is owned by Rogers.
Right.
And the Jays are owned by Rogers. So they thought, let's send someone down. But they send other people. Like, they had a lot of their sports anchors and reporters down there. And I was hosting interstitials on Omni, those short little segments that came on between shows. And they just thought it'd be fun to do, like, some lighthearted little segments. And I'd never been more scared in my life to do anything.
Because of the childhood trauma? Was that all just flashbacking?
I didn't know who any of the guys were.
Okay.
And everyone else knew their names and everything about them.
You just gotta talk about them like they gotta step up. You gotta get angry about the players, and then it doesn't matter who. Enough is enough. That's what I'm all about.
Well,
the guy on the Leafs.
I had one of the players. I said, oh, are you going to... So I said, how about we do the segment where you teach me how to throw?
Right.
And he goes, do you mean pitch?
Okay, that's where you fell off the wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pitch, you need to know, like, you need to get the baseball dictionary so you have the terms going
it
into that.
It was still throwing, though.
Sure. Sure, I guess it's a form of throwing.
Yeah. I can't say I did it very well.
No,
but,
you just have to go in there and believe that you know what's going on. And then maybe at the end of it, they'll be like, you guys, you threw a good game.
Yeah.
You threw a good game.
clap. So I think there were some raised eyebrows like, who is this girl? And
but you didn't get asked to go back.
Is
that weird?
You're right. I didn't get asked to go back.
Oh, well, there's other fish to fry.
I was too busy. I was tied up doing other things.
Yeah, other things like hockey. Ballet.
Stuff like that. You know, still coming up in the show, we're going to talk about a charity event which has a no pants policy.
Oh, maybe this is what you, just speaking of segues, I was busy doing other things like no pants policies. Yes. I think that's a great policy, and I think people don't even know they're supporting this charity event already. And
there are a lot of people out there who are like, wait a minute, that's me every day.
That's right. I'm a fundraising right now.
I should be there at the place with no pants. I found a story that I wanted to talk to you about, which I just Okay, I'm not going to tell you my opinion yet. Jefferson City, Missouri. So Iron Man, the new one is Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3.
Okay. So basically a movie theater manager, he thought it would be a great idea during the screening of Iron Man 3, this is just the other day, to get a guy dressed up in full tactical gear carrying a fake gun to storm the screening of Iron Man 3 just to get everyone all excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he stands behind it because he says, "This is what I do is I bring entertainment." And I'm not sure how that's a form of entertainment. That's the problem.
I don't know how anyone in a management level, so you're a manager of a movie theater, there have been very traumatic, violent episodes at movie theaters in the past year. So, you know, Aurora, Colorado.
And he says that's his number one priority is to keep his customers safe, and yet safe but scared.
Yes. Like, what? So he hired someone to dress up as just in like tactical gear, carrying what they, you know, it was a fake gun. But you're sitting, imagine you're sitting in the audience. You're really excited because it's Iron Man 3, Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow. This is going to be exciting. And then a guy comes in with waving a gun. And did he really think people would stand up and clap?
I feel sorry for the actor who had to do this thing because he's like, no, he probably got booed. And that guy, you know, he has a
you know what?
Line
he's lucky.
Career.
And actually, their local news affiliate said that he's lucky that there wasn't like an off-duty officer. In that crowd who may have, you know, had his gun on him, who thought this was an actual attack. So a lot of people in the audience called 911, as they should.
Yeah.
So officers responded as though it was an active shooter in the audience. And then they're like, oh, no, it's a joke.
He's made some bad choices. I mean, I'd hate to see this guy's house at Halloween because I feel like that would just be like a murder scene.
Yes, it would be traumatic.
Yeah. He's made some bad choices, what I'm saying. And I don't think he stands behind it, too. So that's even worse. It's like, well, what else is coming up?
You know what? I'm curious to know if he kept his job. It doesn't say in this article that I have from the local ABC affiliate there in Missouri. But I don't know of any idea that is worse.
No, I mean, I get it. Like, if you have a zombie movie, you have some zombies come out. I get it. That's fun because zombies don't exist, right? That's a fun thing to do.
There's a unicorn movie with unicorns.
Now
and
I'm
that's kind
ready
of fun.
To go see his movies. But that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so that was what a movie theater manager in Missouri thought would be a great idea was to have somebody. And you know what? I just don't think ever having someone carrying a gun, however fake it is, is a good idea.
No, especially right now with like things are happening at like ridiculous pace as far as like violence in our community and things like that. Like we don't need to have fake violence as well, you know, in the movie cinemas.
It just it amazes me, I guess, the thought pattern that some people have.
No, I don't think the guy was thinking.
No, but that he still says, my job is to entertain people. And then he actually says, a lot of people were entertained.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
No, I think he's mistaking fear for entertainment.
Fear and tears.
Yeah. And God, I hope he's not like reading his kids like bedtime stories, trying to entertain them, quote unquote.
He probably reenacts violent scenes.
Oh, my gosh.
And is like, this is from the movies. So coming up, we'll tell you more about this pants off event. Which I'm all for, but
you're
right now,
supporting it right now.
I support it. I am.
This is the all new Pei Chen Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Well, excuse me. As I choke on air, I'm Pei Chen. Naomi Sneekis is here with me for the show. Actor and writer and improviser and wonderful all-around person. Funny lady who you may know from Mr. D on CBC. Also from the comedy panel on George Strompolopoulos Tonight. We were just talking about the hockey game, which we are keeping a close eyes on for you.
It's just nail-biting right now.
Yeah. Naomi and I have decided perhaps we should do a sports show.
Absolutely. We know so much about sports.
We do.
We just want to change a couple of the terms. Like you want to say the pitcher didn't pitch a good throw of show. The pitcher didn't pitch a good game. You want to say he threw a good game.
He threw a good game.
And with this hockey, what kind of terms do you have for that?
Well, right now it is 0-0.
Yep.
So I think if we're going to stay very positive,
sure,
we would say that the Leafs are tied.
That's lovely.
In some countries,
they would just say, you know what, let's leave it at a tie. Let's both walk away and stay friends.
Let's go have a beer.
Yeah.
And some pizza.
I'm not sure what country that is.
I don't know what country that is.
So but it's lovely. And they're going to have, let's see, their second period. They're going to have their intermission. They're going to have like...
Is that where you get snacks?
Yeah, that's where you get snacks. And we'll have some entertainment from Don Cherry. And then we'll find out how the game goes. But at least Leafs are holding. Holding strong.
Yes. You know, I think, you know, the fact that it's 0-0, at least, you know, Leafs fans can still be very hopeful.
That's positive. You're a very positive person.
I'm thinking of the 3,000 plus people down at Maple Leaf Square right now who are, just, you know, outside watching and biting their nails and hoping that that there's going to be a game seven.
Some of them are thinking, how am I going to get my car out of the parking lot fast enough?
You're right, actually. That would actually be what I am thinking about. You know, there's a really cool charity event happening this Wednesday. Naomi, I think you should consider this one.
Okay.
It's called...
I'm all for supporting charity events.
Pants off.
Oh, well, spoke too soon.
Yep.
Pants off. So tell me what I have to do.
Okay. Well, I've got the co-founder on the phone, Peter Shippen. Good evening, Peter.
Hello, Pei. How are you?
I'm doing well. Naomi is here with me, and we are very curious about your event. I love it. It's the fourth annual Pants Off for Prostate Cancer, and you've done a great job with this event. Every year, it kind of gets a bit more exciting. What I like about it, too, is that you really get the young professionals from the city to take part in this.
Well, Pei, you were among them last year, if I recall.
I did not wear pants. You're correct.
You did not wear pants, and it was great to have you out. But, yeah, this is our fourth year. We have had some good success raising money in the past for Prostate Cancer Canada. And, you know, there's a lot of different events. And, even around the city this weekend, there was a lot of closures of streets and whatnot. And we just wanted to have a different twist on an event instead of just having the usual 5K run or the walk for this. We decided to have a little bit more excitement. So
you decided to go the lazy route. Like, like don't walk, don't run, just take your pants off.
No, but don't even do your laundry.
You're actually ignoring all the leg lifts and calf raises that go into the event before the event.
Oh, yeah. Nobody can expose their legs without a couple leg lifts.
Yeah. So basically how this works, Naomi, is that when people go to the event, there's actually, they check their pants at the door, so
right.
Like a coat check. They check their pants, and
okay.
It's a lot of. And Peter, you're a Bay Streeter. Those are your friends, and you get these guys to go to this event. They're wearing their really nice suits and ties. They drop their pants.
May I take your pants, sir?
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And escort you to your table. Lovely.
And they hang around. And they just have a good time. There's music. There's cocktails.
I think it can be very liberating for these gentlemen.
Well, I think it's important to note here, though, that in the three previous years, we've actually had. Many more ladies there than we have had men.
That's because you advertise it as pants off for men. Peter, that is what is drawing the ladies.
Well, so clearly we've come up with an interesting model.
Yes, you have. But you know what? On a serious note, though, this is to raise money for Prostate Cancer Canada. And I didn't realize the statistic that 1 in 7 Canadian men will be diagnosed with the disease in their lifetime. That's a pretty staggering number.
Yeah, and do you know what's interesting about it? You know, the whole concept of pants off is a bit taboo because the whole concept of going in and getting checked for, you know, being at risk of this disease is also a bit taboo. I'm sure most listeners would know what has to happen there. But the really dumb thing about it is 90% of all cases can be cured, especially if they're caught at an early level or early on in the disease. Progression. So there's really no reason for anyone, even though it's very widely diagnosed, there's no reason for people to die from this disease. And all it takes is a 15-minute check at your doctor. So
men are notorious for not getting checked, though. Like a lot of men, ask them when their last physical, they would be like, 5 years ago. Whereas I think women are a little bit more, you know, religious about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why that is, but maybe this is the kind of awareness fundraiser that will hopefully bring men into more doctors' offices to do that kind of thing.
We've really tried to work on the whole advocacy for the disease. You know, the first year was just, let's see if this will work. The last few years, we've had, you know, upwards of 400 people at this event. It's a great crowd. As Pei says, it's a lot of young professionals. But, you know, when you think about the social dynamics of what it is, of people willing to go into this event, take their pants off.
Without a pool being nearby.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not a, I should be clear, it's not a sexy underwear party. You know,
no, they wear their boxers.
No, but people are choosing their underwear carefully that day for sure.
Yeah, exactly. It's a new pair.
But yeah. just the dynamics of that, of having, you know, young people that aren't taking themselves too seriously to be able to come to an event like this and you know, really check. You know, there's not a lot of ego when you're checking into an event like this where you're taking your pants off, or at least you can dispose of that at the pant check.
Yeah, you're all just a bunch of leggy people hanging around. You're all at the same level.
Lots of calf raises, that's for sure. Thanks so much, Peter. So the event is May 15th. That's this Wednesday. It's taking place at the Berkeley Church, which is Queen Street East. And people can still get tickets, right?
Yep, we got some tickets left over at www.takeyourpantsoff.ca. And encourage anyone out there who's interested to check out the pictures there. I think once you see those photographs, it really sells you on the event and gives you a better idea of what it is.
I think it does. And it's like you said, you know what? It's a fun event, and the fact that you get a lot of young people out there to raise awareness is great.
Yeah, that's it. And if anyone is maybe looking at tickets, maybe tweet us at Pants Off Toronto. And we've got 4 tickets to give away to
nice.
The good people who are listening tonight.
Lovely.
That is very nice. So at Pants Off Toronto, and Peter's got some tickets. Thanks so much, Peter. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Thanks, Bay. We'll see you soon.
Okay. I'm doing calf raises all up until Wednesday. That's for sure. We're taking a quick break here on In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010. Back with more after this.
Pei Chen is talking Toronto on In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Pei Chen, and Naomi Sneekus has been here with me.
Hi.
All hour. Thank you so much for joining
Pleasure.
Me today.
I love your little home here. It's fantastic.
Little home. Well, I really liked having you here. Naomi, of course, does many things, but you're heading off to Halifax this summer to shoot another season of Mr. D.
Yeah, that's right. And then in the meantime, we're going to be doing shows with my theater company, the National Theater of the World.
Yep.
And we've got some amazing shows. You can go to thenationaltheatertheworld.com to check those out.
You're one of the founders.
I'm one of the founders.
And you've won awards.
We won awards.
Congrats.
It's good fun. We have like some fun shows coming up at the Drake and then at Soul Pepper, and tons of great opportunities to have some laughs in the city with us.
I wanted to talk about, you have a web series too, which I quite like. It's called the castingroom.biz.
That's right.
Is the website. And if anyone's online, it's fun. It's fun just to watch a couple of episodes.
Yeah, go have a look and then tweet me and let me know what you think or which one's your favorite. We have, I think we've done 3 seasons and we've got a 4th one coming up soon. But, you know, Colin Mockery was in one.
You've
and
got some great names in
there. Yeah, Devin Bostick and Ed Robertson from Bare Naked Ladies. So really diverse and really fun guests.
And basically, it's sort of, you're like a casting assistant.
Yeah, to a regular casting director, Stephanie Gorin.
A real casting director.
That's right.
And people come in and it's
and
sort of like...
And she's a co-creator as well.
Right. Yeah. And so you get these great names and these actors who kind of come in and do things you shouldn't do in auditions.
Really, really bad auditions.
I hate auditions.
Super awkward. Ennis Esmer has a really awkward one that he...
Was
really
him
treats
being himself,
me badly.
Or
yeah, it's sort of him being himself.
Oh,
it's adorable.
So where can people see you next? They can see you, of course, on George Strompolopoulos tonight.
That's
on the comedy panel.
And then they can come down to Soul Pepper and see one of the shows we're doing, the Scriptease Project. Just go to the website. There's a bunch of shows coming up. There's lots of fun coming up.
Hey, I want to introduce you to someone who just walked in.
Okay.
This would be Mr. Vinny White, who does a show here from 9 until 10. It's ladies' night here.
I heard that from your fantastic discussion when you were talking about hockey.
Well, it is.
All right, let's hear your chat about hockey.
I am no better.
That's right. Welcome to the ladies'
it's
club.
It's not really in my culture.
Well,
it was
it's
really
still,
good.
Okay, let's just let
that 0-0, wasn't it? Is that the score still?
Well, let people know it's still 0-0.
0-0 no or 0-0, as we say.
Yes.
Yep.
Or in England, they say ice hockey because they need to confirm that it's on the ice.
This is true, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't have a lot of. Well, we have quite a lot of hockey, but not a lot of it on ice.
Right.
Yes.
Like floor hockey and.
I think you call it field hockey, yeah.
Field hockey, that's the other one, that they play in a field.
Yeah.
That's why you need the differentiation.
I used to play that when I was at school, and I was terrible at it. And
really?
As a result, unfortunately, I really don't understand very well the rules of hockey, or ice hockey, if you like.
And that's why we're in radio.
Yeah.
Vinny, we just got a second. What's coming up on your show tonight?
Thank you for letting me in. I feel terribly rude just walking
first of all,
in.
No,
welcome.
I didn't let you in. You just walked in.
Exactly.
So it's not like you rang the doorbell, I went to the door and opened it and said, come on in. You just kind of walked in. So
I gave you no choice, really. And I just sat at a mic. Terribly presumptuous. Anyway, yes, I have got loads of stuff coming from the show, including colonizing Mars. Just a light topic to discuss.
Would you go there?
I absolutely would not. There is a reality. Have you heard about this?
No.
Reality TV show. And I wish I was making this up. I'm really not. That is based out of the Netherlands. And there's been 28,000 people that have opted to live on Mars on a one-way ticket. And this is not a joke. This is true. We're going
to
discuss it.
I can think of a few people I'd like to send there.
I feel like I know a couple of people that actually live there.
That's coming up on the Vinnie White Show at 9 p.m. Thank you so much,
thanks,
Naomi, for being here.
Lovely.
And stick around. Vinnie White Show is coming up next.
Thanks.